ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय धियाम जन्मा सर्गा उदाहृता ब्रह्मण गुणा वैषम्या विसर्ग पुरुष स्मृता भूता मैथेन्द्रिया धियाम जन्म सर्ग उदाहृता ब्राह्मणगुण वैषम्याषाद पुरुष स्मृता भूतमाथेन्द्रिय जन्म सर्ग उदाहृता ब्राह्मणगुण वैषम्याषाद पुरुष स्मृता भूत मैथेन्द्रिय धियाम जन्म सर्ग उदाहृता ब्राह्मणगुण वैषम्याषाद पुरुष स्मृता Bhuta, the five gross elements, the sky, etc. Matra, objects perceived by the senses. Indriya, the senses. Dhyam, of the mind. Janma, creation. Sarga, manifestation. Udharati, Udahrita is called the creation. Brahmana, of Brahma, the first Purusha. Guna Vaishamyat, by interaction of the three modes of nature. Visarga, recreation. Purusha, resultant activities. Smrita, it is known. Translation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 10 divisions of statements regarding the following: the creation of the universe, sub-creation, planetary systems, protection by the Lord, the creative impetus, the change of manus, the science of God, returning back home, back to Godhead, liberation, and the summum bonum. To isolate the transcendence of the summum bonum, the symptoms of the rest are described sometimes by Vedic inference, sometimes by direct explanation, and sometimes by summary explanations given by the great sages. The elementary creation of 16 items of matter, namely the five elements, fire, water, land, air, and sky, sound, form, taste, smell, touch, and the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, and mind, is known as sarga, or as subsequent resultant interactions of the modes of material nature, is called visarga. Purport. In order to explain the 10 divisional symptoms of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 7 continuous verses. The first of these, under reference, pertains to the 16 elementary manifestations of earth, water, etc., with material ego composed of material intelligence and mind. The subsequent creation is a result of the reactions of the above-mentioned 16 energies of the Purusha, the Mahavishnu incarnation of Govinda, as later explained by Brahma in his treatise, Brahma Samhita 5.47, as follows. Yakarna narna rajale bhajatis majogah nidram ananta jagaranda saroma kupaha. Adhara shakti mavalambya param samurtim govinda mari purusham tamaham vajami. The first Purusha incarnation of Govinda, Lord Krishna, known as the Mahavishnu, goes into a yoga nidra mystic sleep, and the innumerable universes are situated in potency in each and every hair hole of his transcendental body. As mentioned in the previous verse, Shrutena, or with reference to the Vedic conclusions, the creation is made possible from the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly by manifestations of his particular energies. Without such a Vedic reference, the creation appears to be a product of material nature. This conclusion comes from the poor fund of knowledge. From Vedic reference, it is concluded that the origin of all energies, namely internal, external, and marginal, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as explained herein before, the illusory conclusion is that creation is made by the inert material nature. The Vedic conclusion is transcendental light, whereas the non-Vedic conclusion is material darkness. The internal potency of the Supreme Lord is identical with the Supreme Lord, and the external potency is enlivened in contact with the internal potency. The parts and parcels of the internal potency which react in contact with the external potency are called the marginal potency, or the living entities. Thus, the original creation is directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or Param Brahman, and the secondary creation as a reactionary result of the original ingredients is made by Brahma. Thus, the activities of the whole universe are started. So we see very nicely is then put into perspective these different elements, very interesting points here. So it's been explained that the 10 divisions of the Bhagavatam, these are all there is in intellectual thought. It's not that, okay, here's 10 subject matters. Prabhupada points out that whatever a human being could intellectualize on are in these 10 subject matters. They're complete. So, whatever is described in the Bhagavatam is also complete. So, any answer there is for any question in human society is taken care of in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Means we're talking intellectual here. So, then here's the first of them is being described because it's starting with the creation. So that is where the 16 elements are manifest. Everything else after that in the material platform is an interaction of these 16 elements being pushed by the modes of nature. Right? That's a very nice way of, easy way of understanding the difference between the primary creation and the secondary. Primary means the elements that actually the creation is made up of, and the secondary means the interaction of those. Right? Does that make sense? Just like you have the difference between, your store in the kitchen, you know, your vegetables and all that, and the final product is the interaction of the utensils, right? The fire and all the different things on it. Then you get from just the raw elements into specific preparations. But the specific preparations are not made of anything else than the ingredients in the kitchen. Does that make sense? But when they're acted upon, when they're combined in various ways, then you end up with various preparations. So, but we can see of the two, then the primary is actually where everything's coming from. So, you know, it's being pointed out that Brahma is not the creator. He's the secondary creator. He enacts the modes of nature upon the 16 and makes it happen. Very interesting thing on the 16 here, or it means the subtle. That's the next point. Yes, it's pointing out that the false ego is a combination of the mind and the intelligence. Right? That's how you're going to identify yourself. Does that make some sense? Means generally we'll take mind, intelligence, false ego. The false ego is the combination of the other two. Because otherwise sometimes when you're technically trying to describe, we see that the false ego keeps going back to the mind because it's whatever you, however you perceive things and however you value things, then that is very much one's ego. Does that make some sense? Right? So we can see that it would infer that the false ego is dependent upon the mind and intelligence. So here then it is being pointed out that that's actually the way it is. Then another point is being brought up is that in this is that the internal, there's internal, external, and marginal potencies. But of this, the internal potency is described as that potency which is not affected by the external. And the marginal is an aspect of the internal potency that is. Right? So it's not that the marginal is completely separate from the internal, but it is an aspect of the internal that is able to be affected by the external. Right? Because the internal is not affected. It's not, there's no interest. Right? Just like you have a nice apple and you have a dog. The dog will come up, smell the apple, and walk off. Right? No interest. Like that. So the same internal potency, there's just no interest in the external. Right? It's just like you're not very much interested in your shadow, are you? Right? You ever paid much attention to your shadow? Not really. So that's the whole point. So that aspect of you who would be very absorbed in your shadow, that's the marginal. Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that. So it's unaffected. So when the marginal again comes under the shelter of the internal potency, then like its natural position, then like the internal potency, it's not affected. Okay, so here then we see is that Prabhupada's pointing out also the difference between the Vedic and non-Vedic. Vedic then is pointing out that you have the Supreme Lord, there's an origin. And this brings out enlightenment, brings out light, like that. But otherwise, if one doesn't follow Vedic, one ends up with, darkness. We see the Buddhistic concept is darkness. Right? So any idea of there being something more light or anything is coming from the Vedic. Of course, then behind that light is the Supreme Lord. So that's pointed out is that the Supreme Lord, He creates. He makes those elements. So Mahavishnu, He is there. He creates all these different things. All the universes come from His pores. So that means that the first creation is there, but as Pradhan. So one may ask, well, how is it we always think of, Garbhodakshay Vishnu is the one who manifests the elements. But here is that there's a difference in that the energy itself is being manifest from Mahavishnu. Right? From His pores, then everything is coming out. That is known as Pradhan. But then when He glances over that, then the living entities, the time factor and false ego, then enter that. And then this agitates this Pradhan, where it becomes Mahatattva. It actually separates. Then Garbhodakshay Vishnu, then all these elements then are manifest. Right? In their, they're manifest. This is given to Brahma. Brahma then applies the modes of nature upon these 16 items. Then you get everything else. Does this make sense? Here one may say, well, what about, now here there's 16 elements, but Lord Chaitanya describes 24. So, we take three off by the modes of nature that are there, and we've already described here the living entity. Now, what is happening here is that within the mind, that includes the intelligence and false ego. Right? It also includes the working senses. In Brahma Samhita, it will describe 9 elements in the creation, because it will fold things up more and more. In other words, from the 5 elements, you get 5 senses and 5 sense objects, and you get the working senses. Right? Does that make sense? So, depending upon what is your particular description, you will unfold these or fold them back. Right? Does that make sense? Like, we don't count so much the lust, anger, greed, envy, attachment, all these things, or fear of death, bodily conception. But these are all very essential aspects of the modes of nature. Right? So then, by applying those, Brahma makes the creation. Yes? Does that make sense? So therefore, some will come up with 32 elements. Because they'll bring these things out. Or, does that make sense? So there's a set amount of elements that are there that create everything. And they're all described. But depending upon what you want to emphasize, then you use that particular number. Therefore, you'll sometimes see 9, sometimes 16, 24, 30, like this. You'll see these different numbers. Okay, then we see is, even though the we're starting here, means it'll come up again. Sukadev Goswami will describe it. But we've started now with the, in this order of creation. After so much discussion, now the topics of the Bhagavatam are being established. So starting from this. Then, but we see it's very interesting that in the first canto, that the first element that you really see, the first thing you see is the summum bonum, the Supreme Lord. Then, once he's brought into that, everything is, he is, the origin of everything, and he is the cause of everything. Then, immediately is brought in this potion of protection. Because there is the element of when you surrender, that takes faith, that takes trust. So, in this, then gain is there, but if you lose something, which is not nice, but it can be gained again. Right? So, loss of, So, loss is bad, but not so unnerving, because even when we think of spiritual life, there is the tendency to think of something a little more simple or austere than one might be absorbed in if one's not in spiritual life. Right? Generally, in all cultures, that's understood. Something will be given up. Something will be lost to take up spiritual life. So loss isn't so much the anxiety, right? But security is. Because if you're insecure, there is no gain, right? Gain only comes when there's security. Does that make sense? So, if we're actually going to gain again, one must be secure. So, one's going to lose materially, gain spiritually, that means security must be there. But up to now, all my security has been in the material energy. So, I have to be confident that by taking up spiritual life, I will be secure as I was in the material by the spiritual. Does that make sense? So we see that element then is brought out when we open, and we open with what? Ashwatthama. You know, attacking Parikshit Maharaj. One, it's answering the question that they ask, how did the Bhagavatam become spoken? So therefore you have to describe Parikshit Maharaj. And so this is, where everything started. But at the same time, we see is that Krishna is protecting. Right? He's protecting there. Then he protects the Pandavas, he protects them, he protects the residents of Dwarka. So we see all these very nice interactions, and that it's He takes care and he's a nice God. Right? Okay, he's God. Great. I've accepted that. The first three chapters will establish that he's God. Right? Then after this, then approaching God directly is established because Vyasadeva made Mahabharata, which describes the Supreme Lord. Means it is technically called itihas. Itihas means, Purana means history, but it's general history. And it has to have five main topics. It has to have like this, creation, recreation, the Manu, the Prajapatis, the Manus, and the kings. Right? That's why you see Bhagavatam, all these are described. But a Mahapurana then has more. Right? It gets more into describing the Lord, these others. Planetary systems, protection by the Lord, the creative emphasis, science of God, liberation. So it brings out more things. That's why it's Mahapurana. Now, if that's so, you're from creation up to the future, you're describing so many people, right? And depending upon what is the purpose of your Purana, those kings in that will be described. You'll see there'll be a long list of kings, it'll get to one king, then there'll be a whole story, like Dhruva or Prahlad or like this. That makes sense, because they're devotees. This is the Bhagavad, so therefore the devotees are brought up. Other ones will bring out other kings, right? Because you have a list of thousands of kings, which one do you choose to describe? Right? So depending upon who your audience is, right? Then that is chosen by the speaker. Now, if you take only one of those kings, or one of those personalities, and describe that in detail, that's called itihasa. Right? So the Ramayana is an itihas, right? It's just Lord Ramachandra. There's nobody else. And Mahabharata is just Maharaj Yudhishthira and the Pandavas. Right? We'll say Yudhishthira, the Madhvas will say Bhima, right? Because Bhima Vayu is Madhvacharya, so like that. But main thing is it's the Pandavas, headed by Yudhishthira, and their interaction with Krishna. In it, he wants to summarize the whole Vedic literatures. Remember, Vedic literatures are written for everybody, right? You have six systems of philosophy, only one of them is theistic. The others are atheistic. And even the theistic one, if you're devious intelligence, you can twist it to make that atheistic. Right? So you have that. Plus you have karma, jnana, and yoga. Right? So, and you have dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So if you want to write a literature that's going to summarize all that, even though it's about the Pandavas and Krishna, you have to include everything so that everybody will be interested, right? It means you never hear of anybody in India not interested in Mahabharata. Doesn't matter what their background is. Vaishnav, Shankarai, Shakta, you know, atheist. Doesn't matter. They all like the Mahabharata. So that's good writing, you know? That's good writing. Every audience, you know, everybody likes it. And it's not, and it's so well done that it keeps everybody interested, right? So now we see, but in doing that, the problem pointed out by Narad Muni is you've actually lost the main point of surrendering to Krishna, the devotion to Krishna. You've described everything very nicely, perfectly. You've summarized the whole Vedic literatures. Whatever there is in all the Vedic literatures are in the Mahabharata. Nothing's left out. But there are things described, because it is a summary, describing the Mahabharata that are not in other Vedic literatures. Right? Because he's concluding, so he wants to make sure you understand. But in that, that really clear, definite element of the devotee in Krishna, that doesn't come out so clearly. Right? Does that make sense? So we get that, we see in the first canto, so that's the first business, is Vyasadeva has to reform himself by now writing the Mahabharata as it should deliver its message. So we see all these the later chapters, then after, are all about the Pandavas with Krishna. It's very obvious that it's devotional, right? Does that make sense? But in that, we see how nice Krishna is. You know, it's being established by Kunti. It's being established by Uttara. It's being established by Bhishma. The residents of Dwarka. You know, just how nice he is, how he's the supreme, but how he takes care. Right? How affectionate he is. Then one is going to be able to accept the intellectual aspect. One is intellectual is enough, okay, he's God, I'm not. Thus, I knew there was something wrong with me trying to be God, it didn't quite work. But somehow or another it seems to work for this guy. Right? Okay. But, now if I'm going to accept that, what about my identity? What about my position? Right? Because now I have all my comforting elements that I call me. You know, I have my clothes, I have my walk, I have my talk, I have my language, I have the places I go, what I drive, you know, where I live, everything. And that's me. And that's secure. And what if I give that up? Right? So that has to be clear. So then it's shown how Krishna takes care of the devotees. So, I mean, these are very serious. This is the degree to which Krishna is willing to protect the devotee. Right? So, that's done. So you can count on him, right? Can you count on someone else? Well, of course, how often you get... Someone has developed this nice little nuclear weapon that it can go off just in your stomach and burn up your baby, okay? And so, can you, just off the top of your head, name anybody who's willing to go in there and stop it? You know, any old friends from high school? You know, somebody you read about in, you know, in the magazines or something? Or, you know, even Superman or Hulk that will not do it for you, right? So, you're kind of stuck. But Krishna will. Right? That's the point, is that there's no situation in which Krishna would not be there for you, right? That's the important thing. Will somebody be there for me? Right? That's always the worry. Will someone be there? So Krishna's pointing out he is there. We just have to recognize. He's there anyway. We just have to recognize. He's sitting in the heart. And he's there. Just that we tend to forget. That's all. So if we remember, then he's there. So having done that, then now we're comfortable to actually discuss this thing and pick it apart. Because now picking apart this means picking apart ourselves. Right? Because why would a spiritualist be so worried about the universe? Right? And, you know, I'm me. Of course, I'm the center of the universe, so that's, you know, something connected there. But other than that, why would we be worried? Right? Because how the universe is created and functions is how the individual is created and functions. It's the same thing. How the universe functions is no different than how your gross and subtle body function. There's not difference. Does that make sense? Right? So, therefore, creation becomes important because it's very easy to discuss a third party. Right? If I discuss you directly, it can be uncomfortable. But if I discuss exactly what is your problem on somebody else, then that's very easy. It can be very objective, and both can sit there and go, yes, yes, all this, that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that by doing this, then now we can get into actual metaphysics of what is actually happening that keeps us from Krishna. Right? We pointed out he's God, pointed out that we're his servants, and that interaction with him is the perfection of life. Okay, great. And we've said great, and we want to do it, but somehow or another, like the gopis or Maharaj, you know, Katmanga or the... like that, it didn't happen. We didn't come to prema in this second. So what went wrong in between? That's the metaphysics gets in the way. The mind, intelligence, false ego. Right? Now, to get at the mind, intelligence, false ego generally means we have to approach it from the external. the earth, water, fire, air, ether, and the senses and the sense objects. Right? Because that's how we actually identify. Right? If we say, you know, who are you? You're probably going to start off with, I mean, of course, as devotees, we're going to say spirit, soul. But if we're going to say specifically, okay, in this social situation, what are you? Then you're going to go to externals. Right? But those externals are based on the internal. The particular mind, intelligence, and ego you have manifests the external that therefore is your social identity. Does that make sense? Is this class particularly boring today or something? We're losing a lot of people. Okay. So that's the we see is it's a scientific method that you want to get at something, but you get it efficiently. So, but the thing is that it's done in such a nice way that by intelligence we have to make the connections here, right? How it's functioning, we have to make the connections. Then by doing that, then we're able to apply these things for ourselves. Does that make sense? So all this creation that is being described is showing how the spiritual or Brahman has transformed into the material concept. Right? Does that make sense? So that means if we want to get out of the material world, that means we have to reverse that. Isn't it? We have to again take the mundane and transform it back into Brahman. Does that make sense? So therefore, how it's been created, then if you reverse that, you get out. Right? Because we see is that even at the end, Maharaj Yudhishthira, then he starts folding the elements back up into themselves, the earth into the water, the water into the fire into the air, into the ether, into the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, that into the polluted consciousness, that back into transcendence. Means, because that's how it got there. So if you do that, that's mechanically how the yogis take themselves out of the material. Right? But that means you have to have focus that is complete. You don't leave anything. You know, you merge the earth back into the water, but everything went back in except your teddy bear. You know, so it's got to be complete. Everything moved back. Right? So that's why it's. Yeah. Okay. Does this make some sense here? What's going on? So now this metaphysics will be described so that we can apply it, because as we go, nice stories will be told. Those stories aren't just stories. I mean, they are stories, but in them are great lessons. But that has to already be based on, you've already picked up on so many elements that are there, so that you can take advantage of them. The more you understand it, the more advantage you can get. But the beauty of it, even if you don't understand much, whatever it is, because it's Krishna, this Bhagavatam is Krishna, even if it's just a little bit, then you get the same result. Well, if you understand more, then you also get. Does that make sense? It's not a problem. Just like, let us say, someone who eats very little, he only needs to get a little to eat. Someone who eats a lot, then he needs a lot. Right? So someone who's very intellectual can intellectualize more, but they need to because they have to engage the intelligence. So it's less intellectual, then whatever they do catch, that's enough. That's the beauty of the process. But in any case, that thoughtfulness must be there. Whether one deems oneself an intellectual or not, everyone has to be thoughtful enough to try to apply this process to their life. Then it works. It works for you. Is that okay? Yeah. Any questions on this or comments? Sorry.
I think at the point now we apply the
How do we do move them back. Means one can either mechanically, means how you say, by the devotional process, by absorbing oneself in Krishna and everything that we're dealing with, then it's been merged back into Krishna. We don't mechanically merge each one back into itself. Because the material energy, that's just being, that's the whole thing is being described. The material energy has been, enlivened. Is it? Yeah. The external potency is enlivened in contact with the internal potency. So what happens is the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu expands into everything through his energy. So technically it's Lakshmi. So whatever is functioning here is because she's organizing it. Like that. The Lakshmi Tantra describes it. Because generally what we do is we see it from the Purusha. Here is that from Krishna's point of view, and his energies get everything done. Lakshmi Tantra describes it from the energy's point of view. How, what services she is doing for the Lord. How she is expanding into everything and making everything work. So that expansion means everything that we're dealing with, the body, mind, and words, and everything that we deal with the body, mind, and words, is elements of that universal form, of the creation. So if we take all that and engage it in the Lord's service, remembering Krishna and doing it to please Krishna, technically we have merged it all back in. But it's the direct process. So if that's the recommended, because it's so much easier. And it doesn't require, you know, the focus that one had in the Satya Yuga, or that adherence to fine detail that you require in the Treta Yuga, or the ability to keep everything just focused on the Lord in the Dwapara Yuga. Here it's that our consciousness is dispersed through the material energy. So by directly just using the devotional process, it's connected. And then it becomes perfect that way. But otherwise, mechanically, one can, if one has that focus, take them and just, it's done in the mind. So it's just the earth elements are put back into the water and that. So it's just through the mind. One takes that and moves it. So if it's complete, meaning complete means the focus is there. It's not that it's there and then you go back and think of material things and then go back and like this. It's able to take that and move that into. And you'll find that when you get to the Vasudeva, it means from the false ego, that's then situated in Vasudeva Sattva in the Mahat Tattva. But it's still got the polluted consciousness. That's the problem. So then that has to be dropped. The polluted consciousness is, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. So if we accept that I am servant of Krishna and my service is to please Krishna, then basically that's been accomplished. Right? And when Vasudeva, he includes all the qualities of Shankar, Shankar, Jumna, and Aniruddha. So the qualities there in the intelligence, mind, and false ego are already included. So then that's taken care of. Because then my value is just to please the Lord. My intelligence is used to discriminate and find better ways to please the Lord. And my identity is that of a humble servant of the Lord. So it's been accomplished. Because the... Yeah. Does that make some sense? Or...
In these 24 elements, however one counts them, I always wonder why the three modes of material nature are not amongst those. And I guess that's because the modes are energies and the others are elements. So then I would like to explain what is the difference between an energy and an element.
What is the difference between an energy and an element? They're all energies. But the element means it is inert matter. And so the potency of the inert matter, you know, of Maya herself, is these three modes. Because they are the reflections of the three aspects of the internal potency. That means the internal potency functions on Sat-Chit-Ananda. So when you reflect those, then you get goodness, passion, and ignorance. You understand? The existence potency becomes ignorance. Right? Because existence means I am servant of Krishna. Right? So when you remove that, you end up with ignorance. Right? The chit potency is the knowledge potency and activity. And so then when that becomes perverted, that becomes the mode of passion, where you're using your intelligence and senses to endeavor for your own sense satisfaction. Then the Hladini, the Lord's pleasure potency, that is based on the mind, attaining what you want. So it's the results, the prayojana. So when you get, so when that becomes, that's the mode of goodness, because pleasure is obtained in the present. There's no pleasure in the future, in the past. It's in the present. It's very important to understand that. That's why hankering and lamenting don't give any pleasure, satisfaction, because they're in the future or past. Right? Only the present can give you satisfaction, because that's actually where the living entity is naturally situated. That's why he says in Goloka, there is no time. There is no past and future. So it's only the present. So that's why everybody's happy there. Does that make sense? So that represents the mode of goodness. So goodness, passion, ignorance are just the perversion of Satchitananda. So the whole material, spiritual pastimes happen on those three. So the whole material pastimes happen on those perversions. Then you have to have something that you deal with. So therefore then you have the 16 elements. Is that okay? Yeah. Anything else? Yes.
Yeah, but before what I was saying, that it actually, you know, our line, we use the downward version, but even mantra for doing the same process as the mantra.
He's saying is that our mechanical process of this is in the verse given by Lord Chaitanya, Naham Bipro, Nacha, Narapatir, Napi Vaishnava Shudra. That we go through it, I'm not all these material identities. I'm simply the servant of the servant, the servant of the Lord. Is that okay? Yeah? So that's our technical process. Okay, so we'll end here. Oh, yes?
You said it was the marginal aspect of the soul.
No, not of the soul, of the internal potency.
Of the internal potency, not of the soul that is inclined to matter.
The soul, the question is it's the marginal aspect of the soul? No, the soul itself is marginal potency. Yeah, so what we're saying is the marginal potency means that aspect of internal potency that is can be affected by the material nature, like that.
Because when you said this, it made me think of an example for me to understand. Just came into my mind that in a country, you know, the people living on the border may have reasons to want to learn the language of the next neighboring country. But the people in the middle, they have no reasons. If all the people of the country were to learn the language of the other country, they would be at risk to lose their identity into it. A bit like India today is very much at risk in how influenced it is by the English culture of it, you know. Would you say that
it's valid up to the point that the point is the internal potency wouldn't bother learning the language because there's no interest. That's up to that point it was a good example. Past that it broke down. Because there's no question means that those on the border may lose their identity, but the ones in the center, because there's no interest to learn, they never will and never do. So there's no question of the internal potency to ever be influenced. The external potency is the shadow of the internal. Right? So that's the whole point, is that the the substance is so much more interesting than the... It means it's like when somebody walks up to you and you're outside, you talk to their shadow or you talk to them. There's no interest to talk to their shadow. You just would not do it. But the jivas do. That's why they're called crazy. Like that. Yeah, looking very nice and black looking today. Yes. Yeah, I like how you know you stretch right out all the way down to you know touching the building over there. That's really cool. You know. Yeah, you should come back in 15 minutes and I'll be over to the Brahmachari Ashram. I came yesterday. I couldn't find you. You know, by what time was it? It was 12 o'clock. Oh, idiot. You know, there's no shadow. Take that. Okay, so, end here before it gets more crazy. See, crazy was the point. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nidai Gaura Prema.
Yeah.